This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
All right, this is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 677. I'm hosting this week because Brian Kilby is down with the sickness or something. We don't really know. He sounds terrible and doesn't want to talk to us this week. Shut up. Go away.
Okay, I'm going away.
Wow, that guy got really mean-spirited really fast, and I'm not sorry. So this week with me, I have Headmaster Don, fresh back from Computer Oblivion. He's muted right now, but he's waving for those not able to see the video. Diecast is here.
Hey, everybody.
Melvar, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, we've got Rob Clay.
Hi.
And John DeLuna is somewhere off in the studio audience, but who knows, he may speak up here and there. Okay, I'm just giving him a bit in case he's going to speak up here or there. Well, he says no in our internal Skype chat, so we'll see how long that lasts. So this week we've got a few news items, but before we get to that, of course, we would like to tell you about some of the things we have going on. Of course, our Patreon is ongoing. As Brian says, we're kind of doing a soft sell right now because various things are going on, and, you know, not everybody's in a position to help directly, but if you can, that's great. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody who's been helping support what we're doing here, especially with me and Rob coming on full time to do blogging, podcasting, and toy detectiving. tfradio.net/Patreon or patreon.com/tfradio. It works either way you do it. Various tiers, and of course, if you're a Touch patron, you'll get thanks specifically at the end of the episode. I've got the list right here, all up to date for this week, because Brian has to give that to me, or else I don't know who to thank correctly, because he has all the passwords and I don't. Let's see, I believe we posted an RFC throwback episode just recently. That was the Power Core Combiners episode, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
And I particularly love Power Core Combiners, so it's weird. I haven't actually listened to that episode myself yet, but I think everybody should, because Power Core Combiners were awesome, and we should all remember that. It was an amazing experiment, and I just kind of wish it had gone over better. Of course, you can watch the live stream at tfradio.net/live if you're not already. And if you want to chat with us during the show, we have our Discord server at tfradio.net/discord. That's like the only place I watch the chat go by. So, you know, if you want to talk to us, that's the best place to do it. Of course, we still have our, YouTube chat. We're on Twitter, probably streaming right now, too. But Discord's where the main action happens. So come hang out. You can do it all in your browser. Don't have to download anything. So let's see. I think that covers everything I can do off the top of my head, so that'll probably be good enough. Brian can come back in and clean this up in editing, I'm sure. So with that said, did anybody get anything? And I'm going to go first just because I can. So this week I'm going to start with some off topic, because GameStop had a sale this week, or this weekend. It was over the weekend. For various like exclusive things they had in stock and nobody was buying. So I got things such as Lightning Collection Psycho Blue.
Very nice.
Which was like $5.
Wow.
I got the Psycho Red and Lost Galaxy Red 2-pack. That was $10.
Ooh.
Also very nice.
And I got Goldar, which was another $5. So
no way.
For $20, I got almost $90 worth of Lightning Collection figures.
That's
going
awesome.
By original value.
That is GameStop, great.
GameStop has either exclusive single figures at almost $25 each, and that 2-pack was $40. So I obviously have not opened any of them yet. I'll get around to that someday when I'm desperate for like a new toy fix, I'm sure. But, you know, they're all very nice looking, and I was very pleased. My Goldar actually has its lower body on the correct direction. I saw one when these first came out that was, like, sealed in package, but the entire lower half of the body was reversed. It looked very painful. So, aside from that, so this is especially off topic, but it's kind of interesting to me. I was at Walmart the other day, a necessary trip, not, you know, frivolous shopping and hunting around, but I walked through the clearance aisle as I usually do, and It caught my eye. This is an off-camera flash. It's Walmart's in-store brand, the ONN. It was marked down to $9.
Nice.
Huh.
I haven't tried to use it yet. It runs off of AA batteries. I'm convinced it's probably garbage, but for $9, it's at least like suitable as a toy to kind of figure out, like, do I like how off-camera flash works for my photography? So as soon as I go spend another, you know, $8 or $9 on a package of batteries to start feeding this with, I'll probably mess around with that.
So but
that,
Chris,
was, that was kind of an entertaining... Yes, Don?
Is that like a add-on flash, like the old Pentax add-on flashes that with a hot shoe mount, or is that like a standalone...
Yeah, hot shoe.
It is. Okay, I didn't realize they carry those anymore.
Yeah, so it will attach the hot shoe, but it also comes with an adapter foot. You can use this completely off the camera. It's got an optical sensor, so it will trigger as a slave flash if you use your on-camera flash or if you have another flash unit.
Wow, because back when I was running a photo lab, we had like the slide-on Pentax hot shoe, you know, for the extra flash more than the camera. They were running like $60, and that was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, so the clearance sticker on this says the original price was $38.62, but I think that was the previous reduction price, because I'm positive I've seen these at Walmart for about $60 originally for this very same thing.
That's an incredible deal. If it's decent, that's an incredible deal.
Yeah,
I think up to a point, you know, a camera flash, as long as the light emitting part itself doesn't just like explode the first time you use it, you know, it's going to emit light to a fairly powerful degree. What this lacks compared to, you know, something fancier, higher price point, there's not like an LCD display on the back to show you the settings. It's just, you know, a series of staged lights and stuff. And you cycle through that way. It's, you know, it's not the most user-friendly interface kind of thing. And it's probably not super powerful like some of the other ones could be. But again, for $9, this will do at least enough to tell me, do I want to invest more in going to this kind of system? So my one on-topic thing is thanks to Don, who sent me a Netflix War for Cybertron scrap face.
Nice.
I haven't opened this yet, but just looking at it in the package, I can totally see why Matt decided to strip some of the paint off of it and redo some of the battle damage, because the red blobs on the shins do look kind of dumb.
Yeah, my local Walmart, when I stopped in for Massey Food, had got the shipper in the 2 or 3 days it had been since I'd been there, and they had put the shipper out in the main aisle, but put a $20 price tag covering the entire shipper. So it's like, I told the person in toys, you know, the stuff on the bottom is like $44, $39, and $59. So, you know, you might need to move that. But I looked through what was left, and actually there was only, I think that was the last scrap face that was there. And then we had like two or three Mirages at all. I mean, so apparently that shipper was mostly laid out for, you know, the other deluxes. Cause when I was there a day or two later to pick up my prescriptions, there was still like five side swipes and six hounds still in the shipper and everything. And there was like one Chromia. So even the other Chromias had left.
Yeah. So from, we saw at one point where someone had opened up a fresh case of those Netflix deluxes, and scrap face is one per case. And I think Chromia might have also been one to a case, which is a surprisingly smart move relative to, you know, putting Chromia back out there in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed through the years is when Walmart goes a long time without getting current product in, sometimes they will get a shipper full of that. So I've noticed that in the past, that if you keep checking Walmart for new stuff that's been out for a while, chances are there's probably a shipper involved somewhere down the road, and that's why they're not getting individual product, because it's all being allocated to create the shippers. Because I've seen that on multiple lines through the years.
Yeah, and you know, up until the display unit came into my local Walmart, I had not seen one Earthrise toy in person ever. Like, it never got stocked at my local Walmart in any capacity. They've basically been sitting on two Siege Chromias for the last several months. Ever since what was left over after I got Spinister and Crosshairs, they have not had a restock of Deluxes. So it all just whittled back down to those two Chromias. And that's been since, what, November?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty bad. It's good to see new product out. I wish I would have got to my Walmart in time to get the scrap faces from this display unit. But, you know, one down, two to go if I want to make a Netflix camera. Okay, so why don't we... Since... are you muted again? I was going to say, Don, why don't you go next? But we'll wait for you to unmute.
I just did. Cool, apparently not opening up. Yeah. I got absolutely nothing. Not a damn thing.
Well, because
after the last two things with Grindr and
you could
those
have
guys.
Had something on the way. I don't know.
Well, I do, but it's from Brian and we all know what it is. So I'll talk about that next week.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but I guess we'll find out next week. I also have something on the way from Brian, which should be here tomorrow.
So it wasn't for lack of looking. It's just, again, after what I spent the last 2 weeks, I used a lot of overtime on this stuff. But again, it was the Dungeons and Dragons figures that I revealed last week was like $250 less than what they would have been. The Grindr was about $300 less than what the closest nearest price was. So, but I looked, Target restocked again with more Starscreams and more Grapples, but they have still not put anything else Earthrise out, although they did restock Sentinel Prime and Scrapper, and those were gone the next time I went there too. So stuff showing up, it's just, that's why I'm worried about this Target 2-pack of the Skywarp and Thundercracker, is there, some of the Marvel stuff is getting out. Like I saw the Red Hulks one time. The Black Widow deluxe sets are still there, but they're just not putting out the Transformers other than it's Cyberverse. And then a few, it's like they just got in the Mixmaster Megatron wave for the first time in the last month.
You know, what you were saying before about Walmart with their display units, maybe Target is getting ready for another Transformers end cap to coincide with when they get the Seekers and Clones.
You know, you're right. I didn't even think about that. But now, is it in the news about the two packs? Is that in the news? I didn't.
It's not in the news, but we can go ahead and mention. Target has put up on their website the list, the pre-order. Well, not even pre-order. The product listings for the Seeker 2-pack, Thundercracker, and Skywarp, and the Decepticon clones. They're both said it's sold out right now, but they're up there, so you can at least bookmark them. Okay, Matt, what did you get this week?
I completed my Netflix camera.
Oh, good. How is it?
It's the reflectors just in different colors. I mean,
trying to make a podcast here, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say. I have a third camera now.
It will be interesting.
We've talked about them.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see if Dr. Wu or Non-F or somebody does a color set for that, similar to the Hasbro set that came with their exclusive that was on Hasbro Pulse. So it'd be nice to see if there's an accessory set coming out for that to sort of beef it up like the toy color version did last year.
Yeah,
if they were going to do that, I would have to imagine they would have done it for the regular release first.
Well, I think maybe something like Shockwave Lab or something. Like there was some add-on accessory parts for the original version of Reflector. I just don't remember. It was Short Run or something. I don't remember who did it. That's why I'm thinking Shockwave Lab.
I don't know. But I have fixed the paint job on all three legs, but I need to go around and do some cleanup on the edges. So I just finished painting it up like a couple hours ago.
You know, in those colors, though, it looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I also got Hot Link. The one Hot Link I've seen. And I must say, the purple shows through a lot better in hand on the toy than it did in pictures, which I find to be kind of a relief, because I mean there's still way too much like soot type battle damage on this, but the purple does show through a lot better. You can tell he's actually supposed to be a purple Transformer.
And what's nice about him is the differentiation of the purples really stands out better in person. Than it looks like it's a lot more uniform, but to me in hand, the lighter purple really breaks up that dark deco a lot better than it looks in person as well.
And I really like the weird sea foamy color of his Target Masters too. It just speaks to me.
Yeah, I'm hoping someone will do like the flamethrower for him that he was supposed to kind of, because Make Toys was doing the crowdfunding for that Seeker from More Than Meets the Eye Part One that has the flamethrower, and I'm hoping maybe someone will do a third party or an add-on piece that'll give him like, you know, his correct weapon if you wanted to give him like the flamethrower gun.
Although from what I remember, the flamethrower thing that Seeker was holding in the cartoon didn't look significantly different from just like the Null Ray on Starscream's arm. So you could just grab a Seeker weapon and have him handhold that and basically be there already.
Okay. Well, I thought he had the hose that ran like off model somewhere. I was thinking he had a shockwave like hose that was powering the thing. That's what I meant.
Possible. I don't remember that clearly. I just remember like the basic shape of it.
Oh, darn. I'll have to go back and watch More Than Meets the Eye again. What a shame.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, so, at least it's not season two.
Yeah. So I have eight of that Seeker mold now.
Eight? Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do too. Damn.
Yeah. The Seeker mold that I don't even like, but damn it. Yeah. I said if they did Remakers, if they did Rainmakers, I'd buy them. And those bastards made Rainmakers. Yeah. So
Matt, do we even have an intervention on the Seeker?
Yes. Yes. Please save me from myself.
We'll do an intervention with you. And when I have as many Mirages as you do Seekers, then y'all can have one for me.
I don't think you'll ever have that many Mirages. Probably going to be
the end of me. So I'm nominating literal cries for help as this week's episode title.
Someone make a note of that.
At this point, it probably couldn't hurt.
This is something we've thought about from time to time. I think all of us.
That's all I got this week, because that's the only thing I want out of those Netflix figures. I got what I want, so I'm good.
Fair enough. Rob.
I actually got quite a bit of stuff this week. So,
this might have been a mistake to go to you next then. No, go ahead.
Okay, so first off, I got all of the Lightning Collection stuff you got. I have actually had a chance to open that. So
awesome.
They are all excellent figures. I am really pleased with all of them, but the highlight is actually Goldar, which I was not expecting for some reason.
He's so good.
He is excellent. He has great articulation. The sculpt is just fantastic. His body armor is a separate rubberized piece, and there's just something about that I just love. It just feels good in your hand. I can't even explain why exactly, but this is up there with one of the best $5 action figures I've ever bought in my life. It is great. Besides that, even though I've only played the game once or twice on free weekends, I grabbed a bunch of the cheap Overwatch stuff too, because I mean, you know, $3 to $4 for 6-inch scale figures. What? Of those, the most interesting one and the one that was the one that was, oh wow, this was like $5, was Reinhardt, who is the size of the old Toy Biz Hulkbuster Iron Man and comes with a shield about the size of an iPad.
and you say you got this for $5.
I think he may have been $5.75, but yes.
Oh, well, never mind that.
But yeah, it's a really nice figure. It looks good. I got this, and it was so nice to just open a box of random figures I got on clearance again. That's something I haven't been able to do for years and years, and that just felt good.
Okay, so I got like $90 worth of stuff for $20. It sounds like you got what, like $150 worth of stuff for $35, $40.
That's about it. That's almost exactly right. Yes. So that
the Dononomics is strong with us this week.
Indeed. The other things I got, the least Dononomic thing I got, I did get Earthrise Cliffjumper, who is okay. I hate to say it, I really do, but he's probably my least favorite thing of all the things I have gotten this week.
Really?
He's not a bad little figure.
Well, you probably paid the most for it, so that kind of makes sense.
I paid the most for it. he is legend scaled with a large weapon, but there's still that kind of, a little bit of that wait, that's it factor when you open that box.
Yeah.
And I just, he's really nicely done. He's nicely articulated. He looks good. And just that taking that back end off to transform him is never not going to bother me. I can't help it. It just something about that. I hate it.
So someone, really some nice outfit did make an add-on part that you can put on Cliff Jumper. You have to like pop a pin out and reinstall it, but it's a hinge arm basically to keep the back end of the car on. But seeing the transformation demonstrated with that on, it looks like way more trouble than it's actually worth.
Yes, yeah. I watched that video just because I was kind of curious to see how they got around that. And it adds nothing to vehicle mode, nothing to robot mode.
It actually takes away a little from vehicle mode because it eliminates part of the weapon story.
Well, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Oh, geez.
But the actual transformation is part of the joy with Cliff Jumper is the transformation, how it's not what you think it's going to be for Cliff Jumper.
Yeah.
There's enough difference in there. So it's Cliff Jumper, but it's not just arms in, legs down, boom, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that little hinge bar takes away all the fun because you have to work pieces past other pieces to make it transform. And that's one thing I posted this on Twitter after it came out. Maybe it's just me being way too old school, but when you buy something that takes away from a figure to keep from removing something, why?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I think I'd rather learn to live with it. I can live with it.
Thank you. Well done. It seems to me like that's a really great analogy for like not being able to see the forest for the trees. You're so fixated on, I don't want to have to parts form this part off, that you're willing to compromise all the rest of the good of the toy just to get around that one thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I guess maybe growing up, being older than y'all, growing up with G1 as it was coming out, everything, so much, look at the Seekers. The original Seekers were all, they couldn't make it while being inclusive. So it's just, maybe it's just that I'm used to it. And
I was there with that stuff. I had a G1 Thundercracker. Luckily, thanks to a couple of parents who held a yard sale around here, who I'm pretty sure were freaking slave drivers, I have a complete G1 Thundercracker because they made that poor child meticulously keep track of every single part down to the landing gear. which I have now benefited from because I have a complete G1 Thundercracker in really lovely condition, but just like I could not help looking at the condition of the toys we got from them. I just feel sorry for that child just because there's teaching responsibility and there's like you missed a part, no gruel for you. And that's kind of the vibe I got off those guys.
So Blade Raider in the Discord says it's not parts for me if it becomes an accessory. And like that's also a perspective to keep in mind. And you can compare Cliff Jumper then to like Beast Wars toys where part of the beast mode comes off, like Cheetor. Cheetor is a really good specific example where you take the hindquarters and tail off and that becomes a gun. But, you know, it's something that gets eliminated from the actual transformation engineering.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. And the last thing I got this week is, so a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I took a stab at ordering a 35th anniversary Sound Blaster from Walmart. And what happened is my brother got a basic Siege Megatron to mess with. I tried it again because I needed to make an order for something for the house from Walmart. And this time Sound Blaster was actually Sound Blaster.
Oh, good.
And yeah, and I am actually really happy with that. It's a dumb thing, but I have never owned the same mold as both Soundwave and Sound Blaster before. And that is something I wanted to do. So, there. Of course, they did give it the double cassette compartment. So there is that as well, which is good
because enhancement surgery.
Yeah. So yeah, I wish, as with just about every other Siege release, I wish it didn't have the battle damage deco. But otherwise, it's other than that, it's a really nice deco, and it looks good, and I'm really happy to have it.
You know what you need now, though? You need to get the Spy Patrol version 3, the Generation Select pack that has Wing Thing in it, so you know he can go with Sound Blaster.
Yeah, I want to get that, and I still need to track down Rumble and Ratbat as well. So
Yeah,
so I've got, now that I've got two Sound Waves, I really kind of need to catch up on my cassettes here.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rob, when you were transforming that Sound Blaster, did you ever get a feel that there was maybe some Tyrant's Return Sentinel Prime engineering in there, kind of with the way some of, I don't know, it's just when I was transforming Sound Blaster, I had this, it was some similar feelings to Tyrant's Return Sentinel Prime.
I can kind of see that in the way that those plates on the legs fold up over the rest of the leg to kind of flatten out and smooth over the shapes of the ship mode. I see where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. There's some loose similarities there in the engineering. And I'm one of the few people who actually likes that Sentinel Prime and Astrotrain mold. So I'm perfectly cool with that.
I like it as Sentinel Prime. I don't like it as Astro Train.
I'm even okay with it as Astro Train, but I really do want to get the Earthrise /Siege one when I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I picked up actually two. I got a Siege Astro Train, and I thought, well, he looks really nice in the box, and with the Siege packaging being a lot harder to find. I went ahead and opened the Earthrise one, and I kept the Siege one in the box just because he looks nice in the box. But he just so blows the Titan's Turn out. I mean, it's just not even a comparison. And I didn't really mind that mold. It's just not even a comparison between the two.
That is good to know. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get that when I
can. So anything else, Rob?
I don't think so. It's just a nice novel feeling to actually have to think about it for a minute. But I think that is everything I've gotten this week.
All right, Diecast.
All right. So the first thing I got was a mystery tube from, it came today, and it's from Brian, I think, because I saw his name on here. I have not seen what this is yet, so I'm excited to
Be afraid.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to be surprised by something Brian sent me. I was about to say,
it's something Brian sent, so it's his own fault regardless.
Yeah, look at it first.
Oh, that is nice.
And it is a G1 Jetfire.
A print of the box art of G1 Jetfire.
Oh,
yeah.
That's classy.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Which find is you a very, good frame very nice. For that. That is that is lovely.
Yeah, I gotta get a frame for it. So,
Hey, Diecast, hold it up a little bit more, and so you can taunt anyone from Harmony Gold watching. Just taunt them.
Harmony Gold. Now we might get a takedown letter on this show.
Stronger people have probably tried, Diecast.
Oh, just because they can't go after Hasbro over it anymore. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
I also got the Reaction Optimus Prime. I took him out of package just because he was an Amazon warehouse deal because his package was damaged. It wasn't damaged terrible, but it was enough that you're like, I'm not going to hang that on my wall like that.
Like what I did with mine, because mine came in actually pretty damn good. And that's like, I'm not opening that. It's staying on the wall.
Other than very limited articulation, like his legs move and his arms, and I don't even know about the head. The head moves too. Okay. That, but no wrist articulation or anything like that. He did come with his gun, which was pretty nice. I didn't even realize that. It was kind of in the back of the packaging.
And yet, no basketball.
Yeah, no basketball. I still need my BotBots basketball that they didn't make that... They're going to wait to be like, I know what they're going to do. They're going to be like, well, it was going to come out in the next series, but it got canceled.
And for any of the younger viewers, if you're wondering what like Star Wars used to be like, it was like those reaction figures. That's what Star Wars was when I was growing up, was they were just like that Optimus Prime. One accessory and 5 points of articulation.
It is a solid figure, so I am... surprised about that. Like, it's actually like very hard plastic. I've kind of assumed just from looking at them that they were very soft plastic, and they're not.
That's odd, because the Kenner figures were relatively, you know, they had some give to them. So
yeah, and this doesn't. It has a rigidness to it I was shocked about.
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
Rodimus Supreme suggests that you could turn those reaction figures into nice Christmas tree ornaments.
That is true. I would agree with that. And then I also got, thanks to Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, a very nice Titan Masters Attack, which is their new line of Transformers TCG cards, the whole booster pack box. And I did not even realize it. They still are doing the one large character card, and I think it's Fortress Maximus with this. So that's pretty cool. Let me see if I can get to the Fortress Maximus card. Yeah, it's under the bottom.
So Fortress Maximus has come himself?
He has. And now all my booster packs are going all over the place. So here is the Fortress Maximus card. And it also has...
Sealed product, not for resale.
Yeah, it's not a... It looks like they cut off his head, though. Oh, I know why.
Yeah, it's that Titan Master gimmick for the cards. His head will be a separate card.
Yeah, and it is in the packaging. That's pretty cool. So it's actually larger than, like, you know, the Triptychon card that we've gotten, or the Fortress Maximus. This is Fortress Maximus.
Metroplex?
The Metroplex card that we got. Yeah. So.
Is it the full setup? Do you have basically Spike, who becomes the head card for Cerebros, who then becomes the head card for Fort Max?
Yeah, they're in the package.
Oh, it is. Very nice.
So,
that's great.
And then let's just do a live opening of a pack, just because we can.
Indeed.
And I need to. I was going to do the video. I know I said I would have it up by now, but... life has been kicking my butt. So
I feel you.
So this is the first live opening we're doing, and it has extra cards in it. I guess. Oh, it's Optimus Prime, but it's the Titan Master Optimus Prime, which is really nice. Legendary.
Oh, nice.
He is a uncommon, and he has the same gimmick of the headmaster. So here's his headmaster.
I'm glad they're pairing them. That is,
but I guess you kind of gotta do it like that to get the you know what I mean, you have to line the cards up, or try and line them up the best possible.
So I'll be interested when you do the full unpacking here to see if the correct Titan Master is always packed with the correct character, or if that is just a really happy coincidence here in this pack for you.
Well, let's do one more
I would hope that they're, you know, purposely packaged that way.
Well, one thing though, the whole gimmick of the Titans Return line was that you can mix and match and give different Autobots or Decepticons different powers. So yeah. There may be some randomness also, and after you get like say one Optimus or one Megatron has the right one that the toy came with, but then you get other heads by itself that you can sort of factor in the Titans Return play pattern and give Megatron, say, whatever Skull Cruncher's headmaster ability was. Basically, all the Titan Masters were power chip rectifiers, giving everybody different powers.
So I got a non-Titan Master. I got Autobot Outback.
Oh, nice.
And obviously, he's not a Titan Master. So the card I got was Resilience, and it has Brawn on it. And then the back of the card is just Brawn.
Okay.
So... I did see one of these cards. There's a Cosmos or a Sea Spray. There was someone running around, and it had a Decepticon logo instead of an Autobot logo. Like, it was an Autobot, but for some reason they put a Decepticon logo on it. I'm not sure if that was a misprint or just that one card in that pack is misprinted.
Well, if it was Cosmos, the line is canceled. Mm. Cosmos cancels all the lines he's in.
Yeah. But yeah, these... I really like the... Like, they're thinking outside the box on these cards. I mean, I know it's simple to have a Titan Master gimmick, but they could just put a Titan Master on the card, and now they have the head cards too. I think it's a unique play pattern. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that's all I got this week.
John, did you get anything or care to chime in at all?
No, I didn't get anything. I'm trying to think. The days run together, working from home.
Yeah.
Oh, can I throw one more thing in? I talked about it in pre-show. I'm wearing it right now. I got my TF Radio RFC Reviews t-shirt from tfradio.net/shirt. And it's awesome. I'm glad I got two because my first one got destroyed by my cat. But John, you did an excellent job on these things. Just absolutely awesome.
Thanks, man. I don't know if you guys mentioned too the I hate it, I'm gonna buy it design in the vein of The Empire Strikes Back. It's available at the store now on a bunch of products. Won't shill too hard this week. Yeah, that new design is up. But I don't think I got anything this week. So I'm definitely have my eye on some eBay auctions that would interest me. I did actually put in a shadow box that transparency of Thunderwing. So that has now been encased. And I'll bring him out when I digitize him. I'll bring that out. But now he is nice in a nice protective shadow box. So there is that. But otherwise, nope, nothing too interesting this week.
All right then,
John is digitizing his characters. He is now confirmed as Lord Dredd. So the Metal Wars are upon us.
Hey, real quick though, I do want to point out. So Don, remind me, do you have some kind of like? I think you do. You have some kind of affection for Samurai Showdown, of all things, right?
Well, it was one of those fighting games that the first one I was really good at, and I just like using Homaru because I just like the way his moveset was. So it's not really an affection. It's just more like I got the figures I posted today. I found my Homaru from, I don't even know who makes that anymore. But it's just, I've always liked that character design. He's like a samurai, but he's like a surfer boy. So it's just kind of a weird mesh of designs that I like. But I just did really good on the first game because of his power set. But it's, you know, I like the game. But it's not like I would buy the one-up version of it or something.
Got it. Well, I did reply to Don and with a link, and I'll mention that Storm Collectibles continues to expand their fighting game licenses. And they're starting to do quite a few SNK characters. He's one of them. So they're dipping their toe into Samurai Showdown. And now that makes it, they do, these are all in scale relative to each other too, which is interesting. They do Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 5, Mortal Kombat, several Mortal Kombat games. They do World Heroes from SNK, King of Fighters from SNK. They do, they've done Hulk Hogan. They've done several other wrestlers. They've done now Samurai Showdown. So they're really killing it, and they're really tempting me. So I'm gonna have to block certain Twitter accounts, and I don't know, block Big Bad Toy Store or something. But but they're really, I don't know, guys. Yeah. The tragedy of that is none of those lines will be complete. They're going to have like seven or eight, like partially awesome lines. So it's torturous.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw the link you shared to that, or I saw it on BBTS, and I have no real love for, you know, Street Fighter, although I did play it a lot when I was younger, putting my quarter up and waiting for my turn in line. But, I wish they would do Capcom. I know they probably don't have the right to the Marvel characters, but if they do Capcom, we get like Captain Commando and some of the other characters from the Capcom side of the Capcom Marvel games, and you could use your Marvel Legends as stand-ins if you needed to, I guess, possibly.
All right, let's move on to the news. So we've got two entries from the RFC news desk. I wonder who did those. Oh, wait, it was me. Not in release order on here, but I'm going to kind of go that way with it. So RFC News Desk, episode 99, Earthrise Blue Streak listing, Toy Detective Special. I spent a little extra time kind of analyzing some of what this means. Basically, what it boils down to, though, we have now indication of a single release deluxe Earthrise Blue Streak coming out, which is not really a surprise because we know Smokescreen's coming as a mainline release, and we had the Autobot Alliance 2-pack leak through an Amazon listing previously, which contains Ironhide and Prowl, so Blue Streak was a foregone conclusion at any rate. This came through some German wholesale website that I had not heard of before that I can remember. But it looks like this might be another Amazon product. I'm not entirely sure, but just the pattern I'm seeing kind of points to that. And that's a lot of what the Toy Detective half of this news desk episode is about. I also kind of summarize it in the blog post that goes with it. So tfradio.net, go check that out for more complete lengthy details on that, which I'll kind of forego here. But the short version is, I think what we're going to get this summer is 4 Earthrise exclusives at Target and 4 Earthrise exclusives at Amazon, at least in terms of how they're distributed for the United States. And of those, I think we still have 2 that are not leaked or otherwise accounted for. So that'll be something, hopefully that will come up in like a Hasbro Pulse Fan First Friday for Transformers sometime in the near future here.
Yeah, I was just joking the other week when I said, no, it'll be Star Wars again next week. Like that.
Yeah, well, it sort of kind of ended up being that. We got the packaging mock-up for Scorponok. So like that's the bone they threw to the Transformers side of things so far. I assume that's just because like the stuff they want to have in one of these presentations is just not ready to be talked about yet, so we're gonna have to wait a little while longer. But you know, the Amazon stuff that's been uncovered so far, when there was release dates attached to it, when you would find the specific international Amazon site that had the most information for each one, like they're talking about July 1st release date, so it can't be that much farther off before there's reveals or the dates get changed, one or the other.
Hey, real quick,
yes,
on the Scorponok box, like when they showed that rendering, they specifically tried to intimate that that there were spoilers or something interesting in the box art itself, or some, like they were like, it's more than meets the eye, like hint hint, nudge nudge. Has anybody found anything interesting in that art yet?
Not that I've heard of.
It's weird because I mean, like the way they wrote that, they were clearly like, hey, look closer, guys, like this box art's more than meets the eye. But yeah, nobody found
that.
Anything.
I missed that. So.
I mean, it very well may be they kind of noticed that, you know, everybody started scrutinizing the Earthrise packaging in general for the characters hidden in it and figuring out what that relates to in upcoming toys, and they're just kind of rolling with that.
Yeah, fair enough. It would be nice if there was, you know, actually something there.
Because, like, with Toy Fair, when people started getting to take pictures of Skylynx's box and found all the cone heads on that... Because, like, I think Ramjet's on the front panel, but then people were catching that the other two were on one of the side panels. The retail Earthrise packaging has Galvatron hidden on the top flap, you know, stuff like that. You know, there may be something to that, but it's also possible it's, you know, reused assets. Because I think that the Scorponok box has either the same or a very similar element to... what I think we've determined is supposed to be Bumblebee and Spike running out from an exploding room.
Yes.
Like, that's reproduced on there, so I imagine there's probably other stuff like that that we've already kind of seen some example of. I think, actually, even Galvatron reoccurs on Scorponok's box from that mock-up.
Yeah, I think he does. So I guess maybe that might be their idea of a surprise.
Don, can you mute?
I was going to say this real quick. What I would love to see is, if they were going to include something, like, in the box they've not announced, have a Titan Master Galen that you could put with Fortress Maximus, so therefore you could have like the original binary bonded partner for Fortress Maximus if you wanted Galen, and you know, Galen versus Scorponok. So that's something crazy, I know, but again, it's me, and I thought it'd be kind of cool if they included that as like a little unnamed bonus.
Right, anyway, so RFC News Desk episode 100, Movie Masterpiece Ratchet, has been officially revealed. So that's MPM 11. That was the announcement that they announced they were going to announce, that we were mentioning briefly last week. So this is coming to Target in the US and will be $120. This is Transformers 2007 version Ratchet, so that finishes out the Autobot cast for the first movie, I'm pretty sure.
I was surprised on this. I don't know if you were too, Chris, when you looked at pictures. It looked very deluxe upscaled to me.
Mickey was saying the same thing on Twitter at one point.
Yeah, it didn't look like there was a whole lot going on transformation wise, and I know there's got to be, but it looked very simplistic.
Yeah, so the product copy is saying that it's 61 steps to transform it.
Yeah, so that would definitely be more in line with like a is that as high as some of the other masterpieces? Like if you took like Masterpiece Optimus Prime, like the most recent one, 44.
I have no idea, because I don't think Takara makes a point of like advertising how many steps their transformations are.
Right.
Yeah, but remember, Diecast, they'll count like both hands twisting as one and two. So you have to remember the way they count their steps is like lower arms would be like three, and then twist your wrist would be like four and five or something like that. So the way they count the steps may be very small increments from one to the other. So it may not be that many unique steps. So you could well be right.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be one. I'm just going to need to wait to see when he comes out, what he's like, but I don't know. He just doesn't grab me as like, oh my God, I got to pre-order that. Like, it doesn't look that special to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Movie Masterpiece Ironhide did not really come out to favorable reviews overall. And I think, for something that's similar, obviously not identical because they are very different designs, but like, it's got to be giving some people pause thinking back to what Ironhide was like as they look at this coming out. Plus, hopefully it's just for the samples they have right now, but like, there's some pretty obvious color mismatch across a lot of the panels.
Yeah, a lot of people are probably just worried, okay, it's another big Autobot car. Is it going to be like Ironhide was when stuff doesn't fit together or falls off, whatever the case may be?
I believe they said on Twitter or possibly elsewhere that the color mismatches were due to it being an early prototype, and that would be finished in the final or fixed in the final version.
I hope so, because that's a bad thing to have on a Masterpiece product.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a deluxe.
One thing I find interesting with the product copy, though, like, you know, they're calling out the transformation steps. They are also calling out the number of paint operations that this has, which is supposed to be over 150. That's not new to this, but it is something that's recently kind of become a thing they're doing. And it feels like they're reaching more and more to try to find some metrics they can hold on to advertise and, you know, try to promote the quality of the product, where it's not different from before. They're just kind of enumerating it now, and it feels a little weird.
Yeah. Well, just like the transformation steps were in the beginning when they started advertising that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
at least like in that case, that was kind of a qualitative shift from what had previously been just an abstract difficulty bar, which for a lot of time indicated nothing more than the price point of the toy. Cause you know, any $25 toy was like a level 4, for instance. It didn't really have anything to do with how complicated the transformation actually was. KFC Heavy Metal Phase 6 unofficial Junkion series images. So it looks like there's a bunch more of the KFC unofficial Junkions coming out in different variants.
Yeah. You know what?
5 or 6 of them.
I'm totally out. They're what, $130 a piece? Yeah. No.
I did post this on Twitter when I saw that this morning or late last night. It looks like each figure does come with a different head option. So you could, you know, swap out the heads if you wanted to have a different Junkion body or head on a different body. But they were $119, I think, at BBTS is the lowest price I'd seen on them in my limited looking. But they do come with optional. It looks like they come with optional head parts and like head and shoulders, so you can sort of customize them. At least that one can be the one that you want if you've got the other two they did a few years ago. So at least there's some, at least they've got to give you some options that way.
Yeah, I don't need options at $130 a piece. I'm not getting any of them.
Yeah, no, I mean, for generic Junkions, that sounds kind of steep.
Yeah.
Like, I may be off base here, but Troop Builder Junkions essentially is something that feels like they should have done as, like, two packs with a lot of shared parts and plastic colors so they could bring down the per unit price.
Well, you know, it seems like they could have done that like what X-Transbots did and give you the three-pack of their Andreas figure as sweeps. That was cheaper than buying, obviously, three, and there were some different faceplates there.
Yeah.
They could have done a two-pack for around $200 and just gave you, like, one extra head and shoulder, so that way you could sort of differentiate that way. But I don't know how many people are going to troop build at that price, but at least, you know, at least it's not 84, 85. You know, it is moving into the post-movie era, and it does give you, other than Insecticons, there's not that many troop builders out there. You know, so at least isn't, like I said, at least it's an option for collectors.
Yeah, I can't see this going anywhere but the clearance pages.
Yeah, I might pick one or two of these up when they end up clearancing out for like $40.
Yeah, this seems like a bit of a misfire.
If we're talking about third party, should I mention?
Yeah, this. So I don't know if this really qualifies as news, but it seemed interesting when Diecast was alluding to it during like pre-show.
Yeah, so I got my not Unicron order and I was to pay for it, and it turns out that it's their small accessory kit, which is just the head and the wings. So
okay,
I will
so I'm the accessory kit is the head and wings. So you buy a body that has no head or wings?
Well, apparently I'm buying the head or wings that has no body.
Oh.
And then later I will buy the body. And the funny thing is, it's made by a different company. It's not made by O1 Studio Cell. It is made by, I forget the name of it. But yeah, they use a different company name on that box.
Maybe it's somebody who's designed an alternate head for it?
No, this is, it's the Einhorn Finkel scenario from Ace Ventura. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. So
okay.
O1 Studio Cell is Zeta, and Zeta is also this other company that's producing the head and the wings as an accessory pack for the body that comes with no head or wings. And at some stores, you can buy them separately. And at some stores, they'll actually sell you them as one piece. Like, I believe a lot of the U.S. retailers are just going to include both when they sell them. But apparently the head and wings are already out, which is why I got the option to pay for the head and wings already. And then the body is supposed to be out mid this month, so mid-June.
Well, if we're making movie quotes, I'm going to quote Austin Powers. Oh dear, I've gone cross-eyed. but it, also, it could be if they are not the same studio, or if there's a actual business financial difference between the two, one including, you know, two actually different physical entities, or at least on paper with paper money, if they're balancing out the cost of production between the two and they're not the same company, I could see them trying to spread the cost across the board if that's the only way they could do it. You know,
are you
still
sure?
Keep
it's
it
not in, just them trying I mean, to get around to C&D.
Yeah, I was going to say not cooking the books. I'm just not sure it'll actually accomplish that either.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking maybe it was to avoid, like, well, where's making a body? There's no head. It's the other company that's making the head. Again, we don't know for sure. It's just, I'm thinking it's partially financial, partially legal, partly metal, partly real. I don't know, but that's just my thought.
Diecast, you said before you had some speculation about this. Is it anything we haven't touched on?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I think they were, after the first cease and desist, or at least, you know, hey, pull your project till we're done, you know, the funding for our project. That's what this is. This is just a whole, well, we're not selling the head with the body, so it's not technically that figure, or, you know, they're just trying to make it as elusive as they can, to not get another cease and desist.
Now, refresh my memory here. When we saw this before, when it was competing directly with HasLab Unicron, did it have a head at that point?
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. It did have a head. It was the full kit at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't until after it had resurfaced in the wake of, you know, right, HasLab that we saw a body without a head.
And that's when it changed from Zeta to O1 Studio Cell as the new company that Zeta sold the design to. And then we found out later after the O1 Studio Cell that it was going to be sold as a body without head and wings, and the head and wings would be separate. And then recently, because the packages leaked of the head and wings, because that is already shipping to retailers, that we learned that that has a different company name on it, which is not O1 Studio Cell. And I'm looking for the post and I just can't find it right now.
Now I'm picturing Diecast like the question from that one episode of Justice League Animated. I mean, Unlimited, with the giant board with all the strings attached and trying to figure out all, it's like, that's the question. You know, it's like, who actually is who? It's just,
remember
when the party was easy to follow?
Here it is. It is Armored Toys is the company. I love saying that, the company that's making the head and the wings.
Oh, and I hate this so much.
O1 Studio right? Cell is the company making the body that is in no way Zeta.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So
isn't Zeta Toys now also doing a reissue of Infinitor, the Voyager-ish size, not Fortress Maximus, that was originally somebody Grant. Else's product?
Toy World was Grant was TFCon exclusive.
Yeah, Grant was the Grand Maximus one. Infinitor was the Fortress Maximus colors.
From like 2015.
Maybe even 2014, but yeah.
As many people pointed out, that doesn't really scale with anything nowadays.
I still kind of want it, because I never got around to getting it when it was a thing originally.
But my first one broke, and it put a very bad taste in my mouth for that.
You're not supposed to eat it.
Well, that also
you know what's in that paint.
Lid. But that also gives a lot of credence.
Good though.
Yeah. But that also gives more credence to the whole Zeta coming from Toy World. You know, there's been that behind the scenes for the past year or so. So if they're releasing the mold that Toy World released, you know, that's pretty much a lot more proof that, you know, Zeta was doing a lot of...
Or they at least absorbed assets from Toy World at some point along the way.
Maybe it was part of an agreement to settle the payments Zeta said they never got. Who knows?
From what I understand, Zeta was the designer for Toy World. And that's why you've seen a shift in the Toy World stuff, because they have a new designer now, and that's why they're designing some movie stuff and some legend scale stuff, because that's the direction that this designer tends to go into.
Which makes me worried about their Raiden that they showed off, and we haven't seen anything since that one leg picture.
Well, no, Raiden is Zeta. We haven't
heard about Raiden since, like, an original announcement is Takara's Raiden project.
Yes, sir. Masterpiece, air quotes, masterpiece Raiden.
Yeah, I wonder what's up with that. Maybe it went to the same place that the Armada Optimus Prime redo ended up.
I hope not.
It's sitting on a bench beside Master Agent.
I'm still incredibly intrigued by the prospects of what Takara has in mind for a new Raiden.
I'm thinking same. like Devastator class.
It'll be Titan that breaks into, you know, six Voyagers, I'm sure. But
we've covered all this ground before on a previous episode of RFC, so go check the back catalog.
I just want to see it.
Yes. Yes.
I agree.
One other thing I want to bring up, which is not in like a news item or anything, a listing was uncovered through the Walmart app late this afternoon, referencing a new Studio Series Grimlock, which is titled in the system as Studio Series Grimlock 86. Hmm. And nobody's quite sure what that means yet. So one person I talked to about this said that they were aware of rumors that next year's Studio Series stuff might be favoring the 86 movie because of the anniversary year. And this could be to do with that. One other alternative theory is that the 86 just refers to the product number. So it's Studio Series number 86 Grimlock. It's a leader class toy in either case.
But we had a leader class Grimlock.
Yes,
for the only movie that makes sense in the Studio Series line.
Well, they could be redoing it or redecoing it, or this could be, you know, from the 86 movie. We just kind of don't know anything beyond that yet, which is why there's not like a specific news item for it.
I just can't see that Grimlock in G1 colors. It just, in my head, it doesn't look bright.
Well, and if it was, they wouldn't call it 86 anyway. They'd call it 84 or 85 if they want to be like super accurately specific, because Dinobots were 85 toys, as best I remember.
Well, I mean, if it's Studio Series, they'd call it 86 because that's the only part of B1 that's viable for this. So.
Yeah, no. Yeah, if it's like when I say the rumor that I've been related was of favoring the 86 movie, I don't mean like decoing the stuff in G1 colors. I mean, I think the intent of what's being said is that it would be like classic style figures in the Studio Series line based on Transformers the movie.
Yeah, which is just weird. Concept.
It's a movie, and it's a movie line, so, you know.
Yeah. Don't make me care about the Studio Series line. Don't do that to me, please.
I'm just kind of fascinated by the whole concept because, okay, we're going to see just how much more G1 they can get with their designs here. Well,
it's not entirely an invalid thing to try to do because, like, the last classic Grimlock we had was the one that shouldn't have ever been a combiner.
Yeah.
The one before that was based on the video game.
Mm.
And the one before that was a deluxe that was very, very loosely based on Pretender Grimlock. So, like,
none of them have been good.
In the strictest of senses, we have not really had a good updated G1 basic Grimlock
masterpiece
in the entire time classics has existed.
Masterpiece. Yeah.
That's not about a classics toy, though.
I know, yeah. But it's as close as you can get to a G1 Grimlock.
I mean, you're not exactly wrong in that. I don't.
Could it be they're reissuing the Masterpiece Grimlock again?
Not at a leader toy price.
Why don't they just do a new one? That's too small to go with any of the current Masterpiece line figures.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Well,
we can get three Optimus Primes. Why do they keep reissuing the same Grimlock over and over again?
Well, that's Optimus Prime. Grimlock would cost a small fortune, and they probably don't think would, you know, have enough sellability.
He's a robot T-Rex. People would buy it.
Well, okay. Yeah, so the color variants are what I'm kind of wrapping up into sellability, because, like, Optimus Prime has a virtually unlimited number of potential recolors, and, you know, we already have on the map here MP44 without the trailer redecoed as Nemesis Prime or Black Convoy or whatever. I don't remember if that was the Decepticon Black Convoy or not, but I mean, we already have one redeco on the books for that, and obviously there's gonna be more following it over time. You know, it's gonna cost them back out of that mold. With Grimlock, they can do like two maybe recolors if they do the Marvel Comics one again, and then maybe do a G2 colors, which they never would because Japan doesn't have a reason to care about that.
Yeah.
I've got an off-the-wall idea, guys. This is just something that occurred to me.
Well, these are always fun.
That's very unexpected from you, Don, but, you know.
Do you think somehow, again, I'm just spitballing here, do you think somehow it's a repaint of Masterpiece Dinobot as Beast Wars Grimlock?
No.
Because it's still
Why
Grimlock.
Why would that be in the Studio Series?
I know. I'm just saying.
$50.
No, I mean I'm just wondering, like, in Japan, would it be like one of their MPM they would put it? I don't know. It just seemed like Grimlock, Beast Wars.
I don't even know if Japan knows Beast Wars Grimlock existed, Don.
Okay. All right. Like I said, it's just something I thought of with Grimlock.
Remember how Beast Wars worked in Japan? They had a Beast Wars line for the mainframe show, which was all of the show toys in individual and versus packs. And then they had Beast Wars 2nd between season 1 and season 2 of the mainframe show to use all the non-show stuff that they hadn't marketed before. But it all had, you know, the molds in different decos. So it's not like they straight direct imported Beast Wars Dinobot at any point. They had...
Everyone was saying Grimlock.
I'm going to just dismiss Don's off-the-wall weird theories, you know, because, you know, he was right about Masterpiece RC. He missed it by one freaking Masterpiece number. But this one does seem like more of a reach, Don.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, with everyone saying Grimlock, there is the Beast Wars Grimlock that has not been ever anything done with, and it is a Grimlock.
That would have to be listed as Grimlock 96, not Grimlock 86.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to bring that up, see if there was some way Dinobot Grimlock would be part of this somehow.
No.
All right.
No. No, I mean, for me, the simplest answer is that it's, you know, another studio series movie, Grimlock, a deco update or whatever, a retool to, you know, address some of the design from the first time, something like that. Now, the chat's pointing out that the highest studio series number we have known right now is the Cybertron mode Cliff Jumper at number 67. So if 86 is the product number, you know, that's pretty far down the line. But if it's something for next year, that could still maybe track, especially if there's exclusives to be had in between that would bump up that numbering.
Yeah.
I don't know. The studio series animated movie line in one respect makes sense to me, but man, that seems like a big reach just the same.
Wouldn't they just be regular Generations toys though at this point?
So
they might be cel shaded.
If you think back to 2010, we had Generations 2010, which was just, you know, the normal classics line, and they turned the movie line product coding to reveal the shield and added more classics to that to double the product they were able to put out. So, like, we've seen Hasbro do shenanigans like this before, using two separate product imprints to basically expand on one line more than they could have normally. It's not unprecedented that we would get two forms of Generations at one time in a kind of tricky way, but, you know, right now, literally, the only thing we have is just the text title that this item has in Walmart's inventory system, which all by itself makes no sense. And that's a Don deal. Wait, no, wrong show. I think we're doing It's a Don Deal next week, hopefully, for all of our patrons who want to, you know, catch the live stream for that. So look for that coming out hopefully next week. Okay, so I think that's going to do it for the news for this week. And, you know, after our 45 minutes of what we got, that's a good solid half hour of news. So that, of course, means it's time to shill things. John mentioned earlier we have a new shirt design in the shirts in the merchandise store. I hate it. I'm going to buy it. That's a really nice shirt design. I especially like the black version, but I think there's also the white variant by default. That's at tfradio.net/shirt. There's all kinds of stuff there. Diecast on video is modeling the RFC review shirts right now. We've got masks you can get with different special designs, all kinds of shirts now. You can get Don being attacked by his cat on a mug. And what else could you possibly ask for in life but that? All of that at tfradio.net/shirt, and all your purchases, at least a little bit of them, come back and help keep the show running. Yes, Don replied in chat, you can ask for bandages. Bandages, yeah. But we'll investigate that possibility for the future, Don. RFC branded gauze. Don's waving his finger at me on video, and I'm not sure if he's like wanting me to wait for him to respond further, or, you know, if he's just being disapproving. Well, we'll just continue as if Don's not here. So also giving back a little bit to the show is our Amazon link, tfradio.net/Amazon. You can buy all kinds of things on Amazon. Just any everyday normal shopping, like, you know, a 1 pound container of powdered cheddar cheese. Normal things like that. Microwaves, washing machines, plasma TVs, all your normal, average, everyday small Amazon purchases. If you use our Amazon link, some money will get sent back to us and it'll keep the show running. And most importantly to me, it will keep me and Rob paid for our toy detective and news desk work. So tfradio.net/Amazon, you can bookmark that and then just click your bookmark every time you want to go to Amazon, and you will just automatically be taken to our affiliate code, and everything you buy will benefit us. And of course,
benefit you as listeners.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. Yeah. I mean, it'll benefit the listeners if they want to keep hearing me talk. If they don't want to keep hearing me talk, like, this whole thing for the last like minute and a half here has been pretty much shooting us in the foot.
Well, you know, the only thing I want to ask is please don't buy any coffins. That really makes my girlfriend.
I think we she took doesn't the coffin, like that. I think yes, we took the coffin off the Massey Attack list. Okay. tfradio.net/Massey Attack if you want to send Don some care package items.
Good, because that kind of upset her. She didn't really care for that. So
are there like catnip pads that you can stick on yourself so Massey like can attack patch? You? Yeah. Just so, you know, I know they have catnip you can put on stuff. So if you can actually like attach it to Don, I'm sure that'll ensue an attack.
Like, is it like an oil in the catnip that the cats respond to? Like, what is it in the catnip that has that effect? Because like, if it's an oil, they probably like extract and bottle that.
Catnip doesn't really work on him. He's never been he'll sniff it. He'll roll around for a second. He's like, I'm done. And then he'll walk off.
I guess it's like the people that just don't respond particularly well to marijuana. It's like, yep, that's a thing I did.
Yeah. He's like, oh, this is something interesting. Oh, it's this stuff. Okay. We'll walk away.
We had a cat like that. And then 1 year, my aunt and uncle gave us a organic catnip mouse that they got from basically from a gift package they got because they're shareholders in Procter & Gamble. And we could not keep the cat away from that thing. So So it may just be that you got to find the right strain of catnip and then everything will be fine.
We'll have to get Brian to add organic catnip to the wish list.
May as well.
Don't you just hate when your cats have expensive tastes?
I mean, it would be better Dononomics if he sold his blood rather than let Massey have it, but you know.
That's true.
Okay, Rob, do you think anybody that knows me would want my blood?
Well, like, I mean,
really.
Fans are weird, Don, apparently does. For one, but I was thinking more like, you know,
selling sell plasma
and things like that. I was not thinking about, you know,
well, I did that. I did that.
Headmaster Don's blood, but I don't think it's impossible that somebody would want that. I just don't want
to
know.
I mean, I did sell some plasma in college to try to pay for a very expensive book because it was like twice what the quoted price was. So I did have to go sell some plasma for that in college, but I was a lot healthier then, so to speak. So, yeah.
Well, we can't offer you Don's plasma, but if you join our Patreon, we can offer you some benefits, like access to the exclusive patron Discord channel, access to the live streams of It's a Don Deal every week, that and more at patreon.com/tfradio. Thanks so much to all of our patrons who help keep us producing content like this, the Toy Detectives, the News Desk. We really, really, really could not do half the stuff, probably like 90% of the stuff we couldn't do without you. And on that note, it's time to thank our patrons at the touch level. So thank you, Kevin Dorsey, Sean Bratton, Jacob Owen Lutia. Hope I got that right this time. Thank you, Sean Hamilton, Jason W. Rye, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Matthew Deadman, Hector Bones, Brian Cooper, Nathan Sampry, Spider Bob, Rabbits, Emmett Shresovich, I believe I got that right, Gaming Fix with two X's, Patrick Davidson, and Joey Russell.
Sounds like we have some new ones on there, so thank you.
I think we might. Brian did not point out specifically before the show, but yeah, I think some of those names do sound new for this week. So if you're a new patron or you've up to the touch patrons tier since last time, thank you so much. And again, thank you to everyone. Brian has just chimed in the Skype chat, not this week, but again, thank you to everybody who has joined our Patreon at the touch level or any level. We appreciate you so much. You can find all of these names at tfradio.net/credits to review our supporters at any given time. And of course, once a month, we do acknowledge all of our patrons at all of our tiers. So let's see, I've already plugged Patreon pretty well. So you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio or at TF Radio on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Instagram. I don't know the addresses to the Facebook or the Instagram off the top of my head because I'm just reading off of a bullet point list here that lists the services we're on, but not how to get to them because Brian has all that memorized, but I don't.
We're there, trust us.
But you know, if you search on YouTube for Radio Free Cybertron, you'll find us. We have a Roku channel. I don't have any idea how that works, but we have it. And Brian talks about that. And so it's there. You can, if you Roku, we've got a channel for that.
TFradio.net/Roku.
Yeah, that's probably right.
It is right.
Fire TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. I mean, what aren't we on except maybe a potato?
We're on a potato.
Damn. You can find this episode at tfradio.net/677. You'll be able to find the complete show notes that we work from. Maybe not super complete because I threw some stuff in on here that was not on the show notes during the course of the show. So good luck to Brian trying to account for that going back posting the show. I like to help like that.
Sorry, Brian.
I'm not sorry. If you would like to get in touch with us, we have a voicemail line at 931-99-GOBOT. 931-994-6268. You can leave us a voicemail or send a text message. See, Rob Springer is not here. You can find him at zonebase.org or at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EBR.
Diecast.
You can reach me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can also like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see all my reviews, which hopefully is going to include those cards that I got soon, TCG cards, at tfradio.net/reviews.
Rob, plug your stuff.
Okay, on Twitter, Figure Viewers and Rob Flails. On YouTube, Flailthroughs. YouTube.com/Flailthroughs will get you there. I cover Gundam Battle Operation 2. It is a free-to-play Gundam shooter set in Universal Century, if that means anything to you. This week's mobile suit was the Ballin Oak Saman, which is still ugly, but also really interesting to play. So,
and say.
Yes. And, well, there's a reason I wrote this bologna sandwich in the thumbnail. But beyond that, if you like what I do there, patreon.com/flailthroughs, you can throw me money and I will take requests for specific mobile suits, colors, schemes, what have you. And lastly, I also have an Amazon wish list, which benefits both me and the show, which, you know, ultimately Chris and everybody else benefits from that. And that is tfradio.net/claylist. And I am apparently failing to words at this point, but I do have a birthday coming up in about 3 weeks, so may as well mention that.
Yeah, I think that's a thing worth plugging.
Yeah,
John, you wanna plug?
Yeah, that John D everywhere. That's it.
So simple and concise. It's amazing. You know what's not simple and concise though? My plugs. So I do photography, toy photography. You can find my collected work at playwithphotography.com. There are galleries, articles, guides. Basically, anytime I think of something that I want to say about doing photography of toys or other small scale stuff, or if I like something and take pictures of it, want to share them, it'll show up on playwithphotography.com sooner or later. In between that, I'm on social media, on Twitter at playwithphotos, I think. Damn, I gotta get my cheat sheet out. I was gonna hope to do this off the top of my head. Let's see. I also have a Patreon, but I probably shouldn't do that off the top of my head. I'm doing really great here. I can't even find my cheat sheet. At playwithphotos on Twitter and Instagram.com/playwithphotography.
Just add it to the show notes.
Me or him?
Either of you.
Yeah, I guess both of
them. Okay.
But yeah, so my social media, I will post random photos that I take as I'm testing stuff or just, you know, messing around with things. That happens a lot when I'm in the process of trying to get a gallery together, because usually from one session to the next, it ends up being that, like, things that worked last time just don't seem to work quite the same the next time, even though I don't change anything else. It's perplexing and also kind of frustrating. If you would like to, you know, help me feel better about that and support what I'm doing, you can contribute to my Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. And yes, that is correct. I just looked. For as little as $2 per month, you can kick in a little bit, help me to keep doing the stuff I'm doing. Higher tiers come with other rewards. And that's pretty much it. Personally, I'm on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I also have an Amazon wish list, tfradio.net/ChrisList. I don't have a birthday coming up, so get Rob something for his. And of course, you can find Brian Kilby's various works at briankilby.com, and he's on Twitter at bkilby.
Thank you.
Where his hammer bite jokes are the bane of my existence.
Good.
Yeah, I figured that was the best compliment I could give you on that.
Well, I love him. I'm sorry. I think I've rubbed off on Brian. I'm actually jealous of some of them. You know, some of them are just really, really good. So,
right. So, unless anybody has anything else for this week, I think that'll do it for us, because Paladins just posted the opening to Vampires in the Discord, and I'm pretty sure that's the universal sign to end the show.
No, it's the universal sign to. I won't say, but no, that is no. That's hard. That's no.
I had someone convinced once that Vampires was, like, completely fictitious, like the show never existed. They refused to believe that such a thing had ever been made. And having seen episodes of it, like, I don't blame them, but I will affirm it is a thing that existed.
It exists, and it's along with the Malaysian dub, it should be burned. Every copy should be dredged up and burned.
Okay, now that you say that, I'm going to have to look at this.
Thanks for watching and or listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?